Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. You join me, your host, Francie, and Kyle, here to talk about more electric vehicle happenings with you. And as you probably know, we cannot shut up about electric trucks lately, but one day we will. But we might not. And right now is definitely not one of those times, because Kyle has been doing a lot of things with electric trucks and the team out in Colorado, of course. But one thing for sure is that you have been having fun with the team, the out-of-spec Cybertruck. And specifically, yesterday, you had a lot of fun charging. Last time that I was with the Cybertruck and I tried to charge a Cybertruck using the Tesla adapter. Is it the NACS adapter? NACS to CCS adapter, right? On a CCS EVgo Delta City charger, and it didn't work. First, it was really hard to get the adapter in there because of the way that the Cybertruck is designed. But then when we tried, it actually wouldn't charge. And we were like, maybe the Cybertruck doesn't work on CCS. But since then, we know that is not true. It's just specifically those Delta City chargers. So Cybertruck can charge on CCS network. Is this right, Kyle?
Yeah, and we were using the Delta high power charger, the one... The cities may have actually worked. So yeah, it's interesting. Basically, what the last CCS story we did with the Cybertruck, like officially, was the Cybertruck can't charge on CCS. And, you know, that's odd. First of all, the weirdest thing was that the official Tesla to CCS adapter doesn't interface with the vehicle. You have to pull the panels off of it just to get it to, you know, interface with the inlet port. And then you think, okay, maybe that's actually a good thing, because the official adapter is only rated for 500 volts DC. And the Cybertruck, if you charge it at native voltage, which the supercharger network can't do, but it charges at, you know, 730 to 820 volts is sort of the rough operating range, low 700s to low 800s, zero to full. And, you know, this is not, this was an interesting surprise. We were the first nerds to get to the Cybertruck. So, of course, we found this out. We did a story that it didn't work with at least this one charger. And then, you know, Francie, you and I, we just had so much to do in Austin with the Cybertrucks. This was on the back burner. We're like, we can charge it with superchargers and we'll get all the stuff done. Since then, we have taken delivery of our Cybertruck in Jacksonville. I drove it across the country using only Tesla superchargers and, you know, had a few interoperability bugs, which we'll have another podcast on actually in a few days, hopefully. And when I got to California, I actually went to Jeremy and Keith at the EVgo testing laboratory. And I spent a full day plugging in the Cybertruck to a bunch of chargers. And what we found was it very much depends on the brand of charger, and it very much depends on how the charger is feeling at the moment as to whether or not the truck will accept a charge. And no question, we learned that the truck was doing some weird things in the communication between the charger and the vehicle, and it would fail out of charging initialization at a few different points. And the truck was just not following the spec, and it was operating abnormally. So I heard rumors that maybe Tesla was going to update the Cybertruck with the .8 update, which is 2024.8 or 20. I don't really know the numbers completely, but it's whatever I have on my truck now, which I'll look in the app while I'm talking. But the .8 update, the rumor was it was going to come with a bunch of interoperability fixes for CCS communications, ISO 15118, if you will. And 2024.8.7 is what my truck is on. What's interesting is I plugged in, we had a mobile Autel 40 kilowatt station hooked up to a diesel generator that we used to charge up a bunch of vehicles on the side of the road. Worked perfectly. Would not charge the Cybertruck. The Autel was one of the chargers that freaked the truck out, and the truck freaked the charger out. And the charger was saying, like, weird communication, got to change, fix vehicle, or something like that. So the charger was like, what the heck are you plugging me into? And, you know, and then I got the software update .8, and it charges perfectly on the Autel, and it charges perfectly on everything I've plugged it into so far. And I've been charging a bit more on CCS because now I don't have to pull the fenders off of it. I've created an adapter string that is like a fire and explosion waiting to happen. So I don't recommend anyone doing this. It uses one of those NACS breakaway adapters, like the, it's called the EV eject, whatever. It's one of those things that like you can pull away from the charger if someone's about to rob you. But like I'm putting that into the CCS adapter and then into the CCS handle. So it's like a string. It's,
oh dear.
It's not safe, really. I don't recommend it. But at least now I can at least try interop stuff without pulling the panels off my truck all the time. And I don't let it charge long enough to really rapidly heat or do anything like that. But these are not, this is not recommended. I just want to make it clear. But now Cybertruck charges on pretty much everything.
Now that you've jerry-rigged a situation where you can get the adapter to fit into the Cybertruck design to charge on the CCS, you're finding actually it does charge, and perhaps it charges better than it actually could on Tesla superchargers. True or false?
Well, absolutely. Very true. Because keep in mind, Tesla superchargers, even the V4s today, we say it all the time, but people don't seem to listen to everything we do, which is fine. Version 4 dispensers are still hooked up to version 3, or as Tesla's been calling them, 3.5 cabinets, which are 500 volt maximum, which means when you plug the Cybertruck into any supercharger, which is Tesla's premier network, the flagship charging product in our country, it cannot charge the Cybertruck at 800 volts at full speed. What it has to do is the Cybertruck has to split the battery pack in half into essentially two 400 volt class of battery packs. They're really like low 300s up to 410 volts fully charged. And then it just does a huge amount of current. Then it says, give me 712 amps down low, and that will get it up to 250 kilowatts. And that's all the superchargers can output is 250 kilowatts, but it's doing it at such high current that it's overheating V3 handles. Things are getting hot, and it's just not optimized for the supercharger network. And I thought, okay, well, let's take it to the CCS station because there's a 350 kilowatt EV Electrify America site right down the street from where I live. And by right down the street, I mean 20 minutes away, but I went there. And, you know, it's a BTC station. This station is one of those that I think Electrify America knows we're here and they keep it uprated. And anytime I post a tweet about this station, I see a tech there the next day working on it. So they, you know, at least for my testing personally, it's great because I can get there and I can test cars. And that's what I use that station for. And so I showed up last night, yesterday afternoon in the Cybertruck, and I charged it at 270 kilowatts just to try it. And the Tesla people went wild. They're like, 270 kilowatts on a Cybertruck? How can the supercharger network do that? And I was like, oh, you guys don't know that this thing can charge faster on public chargers? Because our friends at New in Arizona already posted a video of them charging a Cybertruck at 326 kilowatts on their new One charger with their NACS cable. And so I just thought everyone knew it could charge it over 300 kilowatts. So then I was like, oh, let me go drain the battery, precondition it, do the thing. And I went back last night and ripped it at 330 kilowatts right there on EA. And the Tesla people are the excuses from the Tesla people. They're like, oh, but you know, the supercharger, they're doing this for battery longevity. This is blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, there's no, this is what the truck wants. The truck controls the request. And even the lead engineer of Cybertruck, Wes, liked the tweet that it could do over 300 kilowatts. So it's like, this is as designed. The truck just needs better charging infrastructure to operate properly. And it needs a better curve. No question. We can talk about that. But here it is charging at 330 kilowatts. On a public charger with sketchy adapters, I admit. And yeah, things ripping.
Yeah, if y'all are just tuning in on the audio version of the podcast, I've brought up Kyle's tweet where you can see him plugging in. There's a video and it goes up to 330 kilowatts. How long did it hold that charging speed, Kyle?
Very, very, very not long. So on superchargers at 29%, it comes off of 250 kilowatts. And so this crossover is the same. It will come below 250 kilowatts at 29% and then follow the rest of the curve. Doesn't matter if you're charging in 400 volt or 800 volt. The individual cell does not care about the voltages of the total system. A lot of people think that it can charge faster in 800 volts because the cells are higher voltage. No, the cells are the same, you know, basically 4 volts a cell or whatever, you know, the 4680 ones operate at. You can't change that. The higher voltage really helps with the transmission of the power. I did a whole video on out-of-spec reviews on 400 versus 800 volt charging and how it's maybe just, it's to reduce heat loss and reduce current. But so the curve is terrible. Tesla really needs to beef up this curve here. I think Lars was quoted, who's one of the engineers for Tesla, one of the lead engineers, I should say. He was quoted saying maybe 15 minutes, 10 to 80%, something like that was possible. On the Cybertruck, certainly we are nowhere near that. We are 40 minutes range. So maybe not high 30s, low 40s. Yeah, I actually have to do all the charge testing on it now that I know this works. So I'm going to do that this week and log a charge curve on Supercharger V3 and log a charge curve on CCS running full power. And my guess is there will be very little benefit to charging on CCS, because again, it only charges at high power for such a short period of time, but it still can do it. It's the fastest the world has ever seen a Tesla charge.
That's pretty great. I mean, the argument that this is all done on purpose doesn't really make sense for me, because once there are the V4 cabinets, right, then it will, I mean, once they make the infrastructure to match this, isn't that what we would see?
Maybe. We don't know what V4 will be yet. We know what the dispensers are with the immersion-cooled cable, and it's really nice, I think. I mean, there's definitely some design issues with it, but I think the cable's really nice. We just don't know what version 4 charger will be yet, and it seems crazy to me that the market leader, which is now opening up to every automaker, and I'm excited about it. I've been pro-NACS, pro-Tesla opening up. We pushed it harder than anyone. We knew this was going to become a problem. Well, here's the problem. Time for a solution. I'm just surprised it's taking so long.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's other things that are in priority. You can still charge your Tesla Cybertruck. You said 10 to 80% in 40 minutes.
Don't quote me on that. I have to do the charge logs. That's just a gut feeling. It's not a great it's probably less than 40 minutes, to be honest, but okay. It's not great curve, and it's mostly for the other vehicles like Hummer EV, Silverado, Lucid, other vehicles, Taycan, that really need the high voltage support, and they just don't, Tesla can't support them at the moment.
No, I mean, the VinFast VF8 takes about 40 minutes to get to 80%.
So. Is that really all it is? That's not terrible, 40 minutes to 80% for a VinFast.
No, it's not terrible.
Yeah. I can't wait to do the testing on that.
I can't wait to get it out there. I'm really excited to get out to Colorado and do all the testing. I've never been able to be a part of that kind of testing, so it's only right that we have the inaugural Frank testing with the Frank VinFast VFA. Okay, yes. So this was obviously exciting to see these charging speeds. What else? I mean, like, so this is Tesla this is some interoperability with the Tesla product with a different network. What about the other way around with the Tesla network and other EVs coming on here? I mean, I know that's kind of a different topic of discussion, but it does make me think of like all these things that are mixing different EVs on networks that they haven't been on before.
Yeah, it's the way it should be. Everyone should, you know, I think there needs to be some work to tighten up the ISO 15118 standard. A lot of it is open to interpretation, and different people interpret things differently. And so you lead to cars that don't completely follow the spec. But then what exactly is the spec? There have been some other changes that are probably noteworthy of their own podcasts on CCS, or I should say version 3 superchargers that now have the CCS communications module and the CTEP compliant meter. Tesla's now actually communicate rather than on single wire CAN onto, they now speak ISO 15118 when plugging and do a certificate exchange on their own network, which is really cool. So Tesla's are, depending on the station, actually communicating pure CCS now with certificate exchange, just like Rivian, just like others are doing. And so that's been cool. And you get all the data inside the Tesla screen. You know, I've been meaning to take my car over to the station by my house to actually try that, but I've seen posts online about it. We're getting it a bit into the nerd weeds, but I think other vehicles charging on superchargers are widely right now. It's just Ford and Rivian. And so,
and not that widely, because there's not adapters. So
it's everyone's using third-party adapters.
Sure. Okay. Yep.
Which we'll do a whole podcast on, which we really need to do.
Yeah. I'd love to do a bunch of, I have a couple ideas for the adapter conversation, because I know that we spoke about third-party adapters in one podcast and people were like, sure, you won't endorse them, but everyone will use them. It's like, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're free. Use it. Your personal
it doesn't life, affect me.
Property. Yeah.
Yeah. If it blows up, that's good content for us. So, you know.
God, no. No blowing up. No one blew up anything. So this is really cool, Kyle. Did anyone else reach out to you about this, about the Cybertruck charging at 330 kilowatts on the Electrify America station, 20 minutes down from your house?
No. I've learned Tesla people in general, I hate to overgeneralize, but a lot of people don't fully understand charging yet. And I'm not saying that we fully understand charging, because we're not engineers creating this stuff. We know enough to be dangerous, but people really have no clue how charging works. And a lot of people are like, well, Tesla's just not doing it because they want to save the batteries or blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, their supercharger network is just not prepared for their new product. And nor are they prepared to support every third-party vehicle natively. Supercharger network's the best network there is, no question. It just isn't perfect, and we're running into some of these flaws here. And, you know, I wouldn't say, as someone who road trips electric cars often, to me, I'm not going out of my way to find a CCS station to peak at over 300 kilowatts, because I can't hold it very long. You got to drain the Cybertruck to zero to get any benefit. You can't manually precondition to these stations or automatically precondition. You got to navigate to a nearby supercharger to precondition the battery pack. It's not really perfect, but it was just a cool experiment. I didn't know what we were going to find. And there we are. The fastest charging Tesla the world has ever seen is our Tesla Cybertruck.
No doubt. No doubt you would, accomplish that without even really knowing what you were going to get into, which is pretty cool. And I do just want to touch on, you went to the EVgo Innovation Lab and did some testing with Jeremy and Keith, and you just referred to that towards the beginning of the podcast. But I bet people might be curious about that. Of course, those are my old colleagues, and they are some big-brained folks working on this. But how was that, visiting with them and being able to take the Cybertruck there and...
we'll do a whole podcast on that. That'll be a future episode, because it was great and I learned a lot, and we all had fun, and Keith rips. I had no idea Keith could drive so fast, but he was ripping around the Cybertruck. It was hilarious.
Good. Yeah, everyone has some fun when they get in that. All right. Well, thanks, Kyle. It's pretty interesting. Can't wait to see what else you do with the Cybertruck after you've done towing, you've done racing, what else have you done with it lately? Obviously peak charging.
Yep. Anything we could have, really, we've done with it.
You've napped in it?
Briefly. Race, didn't you? Yeah, very briefly. Took a quick cat nap. Yeah.
Cat nap. Almost everything. How fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, folks, let us know what questions you have for Kyle or the team about the Tesla Cybertruck. And if you've been able to charge it yours, if you happen to have one on the CCS network, let us know how on earth you jerry-rigged that, because it's not that easy. Okay, folks, we will catch you next time on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in for some more electric news. And this one was just a burst of information at you. So we'll see you next time on, I'm sure, another in-depth Out of Spec podcast. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye, y'all.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.